he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, June the 2nd, Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we got a lot to talk about today on the economic front. Barry will come in real handy there today. And in other matters, the Dow is down 180. It started off to the positive, and then it dropped. Didn't last very long. 32,637 is where the Dow is right now. Meanwhile, the NASDAQ is actually up 60 cents, less than a buck. But there is some green on the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is holding on to 12,000. It's at about, it's right there at about 12,000 right now. But let's not forget it was at 16,000 at one time. So we're still 25% off the low in the NASDAQ, which has been hurt by rising interest rates, just as we said it would be. The S&P is down 15, that's 0.4%, 4,086. 4,000 seems to be the support level for the S&P right now. Down 15 points, that's about 37 basis points. The Russell 2000 is up 0.5%, go figure. The small cap's having a good day. Crude oil is up another 95 cents today. It was down for a while. I know that OPEC is meeting today. I don't know if there's any news yet out of that meeting, but crude is at 116.21, and I see no hope for crude going forward, at least for now. Gold is up $20. Good day for the metals, the inflation trade, 18.68 on gold. The 10-year is at 2.94, and Bitcoin is getting whacked down almost $2,000 to $29,935. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. We've got a lot to talk about here today.
Yeah, you mentioned the OPEC meeting. It's interesting because OPEC agreed to a bigger than expected, I guess they're going to raise production, at least for the next 2 months, at 648,000 barrels a day. And of course, oil staying the same or actually up a little bit. So
yeah,
more supply and
what
the price
about Russia?
The same.
What about Russia? What was their decision on Russia?
I haven't seen that part. I just saw the headline number that essentially they're going to they're actually going to increase 648,000 barrels a day, which you would think, right, gives it a little extra supply out there and would
it's
kind of
still
send
up.
Oil a bit lower. But yeah, oil's up. So
well, I just don't see a lot of hope. You know, I did watch part of the press conference yesterday with President Biden, and when it came to inflation, I mean, he's totally changed his tune. Now he's telling us there's nothing he can do. You know, it is what it is, and it's not going down anytime soon. Well, that's totally different from what we were being told many months ago. And now Janet Yellen admits she got it wrong, and the Fed chairman admits he got it wrong. They all got it wrong. And now they're offering no hope whatsoever. Food and oil and gasoline, of course. Just doesn't seem to be any will there to do much about it. And not much hope that we're going to get any relief anytime soon either. So a lot of, I just don't know what's going on out there right now. I kind of do, but you know, it's not good. That's all I can say. All right, well, let's take a look. Yesterday was a big day for oil stocks. It was a big day for oil stocks once again. Today, the oil stocks are about flat, although I haven't looked at them since the OPEC news. It was the gold stocks and the metals today that were moving. I noticed Freeport-McMoRan FCX was up over 5% today. So it's the inflation trade. that is leading the markets today. And the more, you know, the stocks that are sensitive to the economy, they're just not doing very well. They don't expect a very good economy going forward. I mean, you look at the Caterpillars and the GMs and the Fords and the Deers and across the board, that companies that depend on a good growing economy, they're just not doing very well. Jobless claims fall 11,000. We're down to 200K. From what I hear today on unfilled jobs, there's 11 million unfilled jobs across America, and they're blaming unqualified workers. Unqualified workers. Maybe we're not teaching enough in the trades in schools anymore. I don't know, Barry. I don't know if your kids. When I went to junior high, I took electric shop. I took metal. We learned how to forge and,
yep,
and create molds.
We welded. We did all that. Yeah.
We had an auto shop in high school. I never did. That's the one I wish I would have taken.
Yeah, they don't.
It sure comes in handy.
They haven't offered that one yet. I think they. I know at least at high school level. When I, you know, my oldest is just finished ninth grade, and they, I think one class was you know, your elective. I think one of them was like a study class, meaning, you know, to basically teaching you how to study, which is probably a good idea. And then the other one was a computer class. But yeah, no. No shop or you know, metal drilling. I mean, I remember taking apart a lawnmower engine. You had to put it back together,
man,
and make sure it started. So it was I don't know if they, I mean, at least not here.
Well,
I don't know if they offer,
you know,
it anywhere.
Try to find a lawnmower mechanic today or a plumber. That,
right.
You know, that I've had a plumber come back to my house two times just to hook up a barbecue, and he still doesn't have it right. Anyways. You know, I think we should be teaching vocations. You know, there's nothing wrong with working with your hands and learning a trade. That not everybody is cut out to be a software engineer or whatever. ADP job gains anemic. Now, we'll get the real report tomorrow, right? Tomorrow's the jobs report?
Non-farm payrolls tomorrow. Yep.
Well, the ADP was 128,000, and that is close to closer to pre-pandemic levels, but way lower than expected.
Yeah, expected was 299, so missed it.
A big whiff on that one. Hopefully, you know, they're not always in line. Sometimes the real non-farm payrolls report will come in a lot stronger. There's no excuse for not creating jobs right now with 11 million unfilled positions out there. Here's the one I want you to comment on. Productivity falls in Q1 by the most since 1947.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I mean, that's what, that, you know, productivity is really what, you know, what drove, you know, America in terms of GDP growth. Also, you know, productivity helps, it actually helps reduce inflation, right? Because you're being more, you know, one worker, right, is being more productive, cranking out more. More goods or widgets than you know, than, and part of that was, you know, technological advances, right, where you could like on a, if you think of a line, right, where you're building or putting things together. And yeah, we came in at -7.3.
That is horrible.
Yeah.
Maybe,
so in other words,
should...
you got more people and doing less and being less productive.
Maybe they should teach a productivity class as an elective,
right,
on how to be productive, how to use your time wisely, time management. I got to believe that a lot of that, I don't know. I got to believe, my own opinion, a lot of it has to do with the work from home craze that we went through in you know, from COVID and everything. I haven't seen a study yet whether or not we're more productive from home, but this is certainly not a very good report. It's a terrible report, and it's one of the causes of inflation.
Well, and the one right after it was unit labor costs went up 12.6%.
Yeah,
so we're
okay,
being less
so
productive, and labor costs are increasing.
It's costing more to make units, you know,
that's it.
And we use a lot of units out there. And that is a big reason why we have inflation. And at the same time, the Fed's beige book indicates slowing economic growth in several districts. That, if you put together inflation with the slowing economy, you get stagflation. And that's not a good thing. Now, Jamie Dimon, when we come back, I want to talk about what Jamie Dimon said yesterday because it rocked the market. It absolutely rocked the markets. The markets were up until the CEO of J.P. Morgan talked about the storm clouds out there on the horizon and what he sees down the road. I mean, that had a major impact on the market. And here's a guy with boots on the ground. I'll bet his productivity hasn't gone down. I'll bet he's still the first guy at the office every day and the last to leave. Like me, you know, probably. I don't know. I'm not ragging on you guys, but I put in a long day. All right, this is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. The NASDAQ has gone positive. We're having a real good day here. I know a lot of the metal stocks, maybe the oil stocks have turned positive too. The S&P is down 6. The NASDAQ's up 33. The Dow is down 162. Okay, Jamie Morgan yesterday at about 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time rocked the markets, turned the markets to the downside. And interesting today that his his macro guy, he disagrees with the boss. But here's what Jamie Dimon had to say yesterday. He says, we are bracing ourselves. Well, that's never good. He's referring to the risk such as the Russian invasion of Ukraine. He called those risks storm clouds previously, and now he's saying it's a hurricane. That hurricane is right there down the road, and it's coming our way. We don't know if it's a minor storm or if it's Superstorm Sandy. Part of that hurricane, he said, is higher oil prices. I'm watching the train coming down the tracks, and I'm very sad about it. He's probably sad because there's a lot we could be doing about it, but we're not. He also spoke about the number of publicly traded companies that are declining. You know, look, I look at hundreds and hundreds of charts. It's almost as if many days I ask myself, boy, the only sector that is showing any is doing well at all is the oil and gas stocks and coal. Which is pretty ironic because those are the sectors that have the war and all of the armies of the world with their guns pointed at them, and yet they are the only sectors. The tech sector is not working. Last time I looked, the NASDAQ's down 25% off of its high. The consumer sector has a day in the sun every once in a while. Gold's really not doing much. The auto sector, the financials aren't looking good. To be honest, it is the oil and gas sector only that is doing well, and he mentioned that yesterday. He talked about the number of publicly traded companies that are declining. Let's see, what else did he say? Net personal will be a nice kicker for us, blah, blah, blah. So anyways, that was Jamie Dimon yesterday. He said that the storm clouds that once were storm clouds are now a hurricane down the road.
Lots of weather references. When I heard it, I thought I accidentally changed over to the Weather Channel.
I know.
He was beating the weather references to death.
Well, in church Sunday, we had our annual get ready for hurricane
right,
season hour.
Yeah,
we have a guy who works for NOAA. He said the worst place to get hurricane information is the Weather Channel. In fact, he called on me. He says, Bill, where do you get your news for the Hurricanes? I said probably the worst place you can possibly get it, the Weather Channel.
Yeah, they try to scare you. I'm just growing up on the northern Gulf Coast as a kid. Yeah, they tried to scare you because I mean it was great viewership for them, right? It's entertainment. Viewership
they'll show a little 3-inch puddle downtown over and over and over again. You know, look at it starting to the water starting to rise and the. But you know,
stand between two buildings, and of course the the wind looks a lot moves your hair a lot more between two condos than it does.
He said, go right to the source, go to NOAA or some of the government websites that are tracking the hurricanes and whatnot. He's pretty. He's been here a long time. He says most times I don't take those forecast and the scenarios on TV very seriously. Okay, that was just him. But we're the home of Hurricane Hugo in 1989, which wiped out this area. I mean, flattened this area. Okay, the productivity thing we talked about, that's not a good thing. Let's see, Sheryl Sandberg stepping down from Facebook. That's kind of surprising. I mean, she's been the chief operating officer for a long time.
People give her credit for in terms of kind of taking it where it's gone, right? I mean, she was the one with the real kind of business sense, right? That kind of took it, and made it, what it is today. I think that's also more two-thirds of people who, in the world who connect to the internet are, on some form of Facebook, or Meta platform.
So. Yeah, and she had a lot to do with the developing it. I mean, she was the operating officer, which is a very, very important position. Now, Meta, let's just look at the stock, and they're going to change their symbol pretty soon. I'm going to have to change that in the app.
I think it's
remind
it's
me
June,
when that
I
hits.
I saw the date yesterday, and I thought about you changing the name.
I got to go in there. That's no problem. It's easy. But anyways, Facebook, Meta. It's going nowhere. I mean, the stock plummeted earlier this year, and it's been going sideways ever since. How's it doing against the rest of the stocks in the market? On a scale of 1 to 99, it has a relative strength of 22.
And a PE of a forward PE of 16.
Yeah, that's cheap. But there's just not a lot of faith there in their advertising revenue growth. Water restrictions, it's official. You can water your lawn one day a week in California. They are going to go all out. They have a massive problem in Southern California. You know, I lived there all my life, and we always had a massive problem. One of the biggest I could never figure out, a lot of the rainwater goes into the ocean. The vast majority of the rainwater that falls, which we did have a pretty big rainy season in February, March, and April, and the runoff was right into the ocean. We should have been capturing that water. That's just my opinion. But, now they have a massive water problem in California. Good news, Cedar Fair sees record revenue through Memorial Day weekend. Hey, it was busy around here, Barry. There were a lot of boats on the harbor. They must have filled up at the gas station and not in the harbor itself. I guess I'm going to have to buy something on wheels, like a 50-gallon tank.
Yeah, you need like farmers where they fill up a huge vat of diesel. You're gonna have to fill up your boat gas and then pump it on over and have your own pump at your
what a nightmare. Oh, yeah. All right. And one guy suggested, "Hey, Bill, get a sailboat." Someone wrote to me. It'd take a long time to get out to the fishing grounds in a sailboat, though. Cedar Fair had record revenue. I would say the Memorial Day weekend around here was one of the biggest I've ever seen. I mean, it was absolutely packed downtown Charleston, which is quite a popular destination place to go. And, of course, we have all the water here. We got great beaches. Isle of Palms, I know they shut off traffic there to the beach. Kiawa, another great beach around here. We live in a great area. Conditions for a global stock meltdown have been met, research firm says. Who was that research firm? Well, the only clue I'll give you, it wasn't us, but they give five reasons why we're going to have a big stock meltdown. Let's check those out when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. The market is all over the place. That has also been a pattern here in 2022. That's why I still think you have to have a balanced attack. You're not going to be right every single day, but if you're right more days than not, that's a pretty good way to go in a crazy mixed-up market. The tech has improved a little bit here. We are still up pretty good for the day. It's mostly the metals and, to some extent, tech, such as AMD and a few
Nvidia,
others.
NVIDIA was looking good. I'll tell you the one is Microsoft.
It's down 3%.
And they, you know, they actually hit on something. I think that's important, and it's going to affect a lot of international, you know, conglomerates, right? International companies that earn some of their revenues overseas is currency translation. With the dollar being so high, you know, bringing that currency back, and then say getting paid in, you know, euros, bringing that thing back to the U.S. and turning it in dollars, you've got currency translation headwinds, which are going to which affect earnings, and that's kind of what they announced today. And it looked like a pretty decent hit in terms of what the currency translation was going to do to their earnings.
So. Yeah, and that's not a problem that's specific to Microsoft. Any company
right.
that does business around the world is going to have that same issue. All right, here's the case for inverse ETFs, which we still own several. All right, so this is a firm, let's see, research shop, Gevekelis. I've never heard of them. Okay, but that was big enough news.
It's a quant shop, so they a lot of those quant shops, they get pretty creative on their name.
And they, it was big enough to hit the Seeking Alpha today. Here's the conditions that they say have now been met for a global stock meltdown. Well, we're having a meltdown in a lot of areas of the market. I mean, like I said, the only area that's really working are natural resources. Okay, number one, world liquidity in U.S. dollars is contracting fast. All right? That has a little bit to do with what you just said, right? The and liquidity, they point to the MSCI World Index, which is not doing very well right now. Okay, number two, U.S. energy costs spiking at uncharted levels. Get this. The U.S. primary energy index rose by 150% in the last 12 months, the highest inflation in 120 years. Well, okay, who's responsible for that?
For a while,
Putin. I don't know. Hear that it's Putin. All right, the Dow Transportation Index is a good proxy for international trade, and it's at its lowest level in 7 months. Well, that's the old Dow theory, the transportation index and the Dow and when they cross and all this and that. Okay, next one, two more. Inflation is now global. They track 40 countries, okay, with a range of zero countries have inflation to 100%. Right now it stands at 100% for the first time in 50 years. I watched a hockey player last night, one of my favorite hockey. He's retired now, Fleury, and he was on the TV doing an interview. He's a great reset theorist, that they're bringing about all of this on purpose. And he's in Canada, they're really getting the brunt of a lot of this. So anyways, different theories as to why and what's going on and why nobody's doing anything about it. Okay, lastly, the fear index, similar to dangerous periods, their fear diffusion index, a measure of equity tail risk, exhibited in 40 different markets, is now 70% on a scale of 0 to 100. Okay, so I think that makes a good case for inverse funds. And I would just say that let's just pick the most popular inverse funds. Okay, inverse the S&P 500. That one makes sense. If you believe that the S&P 500, which is currently at 4,000, let's not forget it was at 4,800 not too long ago, you can buy an inverse ETF that's 1-to-1, that's SH. You can buy an inverse ETF that's 2-to-1. If the S&P has a meltdown and goes down 30%, the 2-to-1 will go up 60%. And if you're really wild and crazy, you can inverse the S&P 3 times. I think that's I can't think of the symbol right now, but there is one. There's definitely several of them. All right, now, you can do the Dow. Dog is the inverse Dow. There's 2 times inverse the Dow. DXD, there's 3 times inverse the Dow. S-Dow. Okay, you can inverse the NASDAQ. That's been a pretty profitable trade so far, with the NASDAQ being down 25%. The NASDAQ PSQ is 1-to-1. QID is 2-to-1. And there's a 3-to-1 NASDAQ also inverse. Okay, you can inverse China, or let's just say the emerging markets, okay? VWO, they've been doing terrible, the emerging markets. And there's inverse emerging markets. There's almost an inverse on anything out there. I mean, you can get inverse the biotechs. You can do inverse
Sark. You made Sark famous.
Sark. We made a lot of money in Sark. We shorted Kathy Wood. I said, this woman, I just don't like her. And I are on opposite ends of the spectrum. I guess I was right, because I made a lot of money off of shorting her ARK funds. So anyways, you don't hear much about inverse funds, very little about inverse funds. And if you have an account at a lot of the firms across America, they won't even let you buy inverse funds, which makes little sense to me. Why shouldn't you be able to protect yourself during bad times? Okay, U.S. LNG exports hit second highest ever in May. LNG. Yesterday, the LNG stocks were just absolutely on fire. Absolutely just nuts.
And we'll have an article out here on one of those names. We won't give it away now, but it's one of the names in the space that you've talked about for a while.
Yeah, so, and that article probably later today, maybe?
Should be later,
okay,
this afternoon.
So keep your eye on Seeking Alpha for breaking news from Gunderson Capital. But yesterday, the natural gas stocks, the WTI and Centennial, CDEV, and Southwestern, SWN, EQT, they were all up 4-6% yesterday. And the other one is the refining margins are at record levels, meaning the margin that they are producing right now, taking in the oil and converting it to a refined product, they're making a lot of money because there's so much difference between the two right now. And stocks like Valero and Marathon and Phillips 66. Last night I was watching something with my wife and a Phillips. Oh, no, we were watching the Padre game. They were in St. Louis. We almost went this year, but we didn't go. But anyways, right behind home plate was a Phillips 66 sign. I told my wife, I said, that's one of the hottest stocks in the entire market. She goes, Phillips 66?
Right.
I said, yes, PSX is the symbol, because they are basically a refinery stock. All right, now, I was wrong about the Chevy Volt. It's the Chevy Bolt that's all electric. It gets about 270 miles, Barry. It's the cheapest EV in the U.S. despite rising commodity costs. In fact, Chevy is slashing the price on them. I think they're probably trying to get rid of them. Well, anyways, they cut the price of the Bolt electric vehicle by $5,900 and the larger Bolt EUV by $6,300. Now, we read yesterday that the Hummer starts at $100,000. I think these Bolts are somewhere in the $30,000 to $40,000 range. So there are some EV, if you're sick of paying the price, and you're okay with the range of 254 miles. Maybe you never go further than that. You know, it's not that often that we do drive further than that. Check a Chevy Bolt out, B-O-L-T instead of V-O-L-T. Volt was the hybrid model. Lithium stocks got clobbered yesterday. Goldman says battery metal bull market has peaked. Well, we'll see. I've heard that before. And lumber slips to a seven-month low as the housing market bears the brunt of rate hikes. Well, what's popping today? We'll see when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, with S&P down 6, NASDAQ's up 43. I got a NASDAQ stock for you today, a non-oil stock to talk about. Gold is having a really good day today, the gold stocks especially. You know, there was a press conference yesterday that was pretty much centered around inflation and oil prices, and we heard nothing. We heard nothing other than, you know, it's going to run its course, I suppose.
Putin blame game. I mean, yeah, we had inflation long before. I mean, that's added some additional tailwind to inflation, but inflation was very high prior to the invasion of Ukraine.
If you add up, you know, the supply chain, which is still messed up, there's been nothing done much about that, and productivity going down, which drives up unit labor costs, and you add in fuel, that's all bad news for anything you get at the grocery store, and, of course, filling your car. That's just all bad news, and there's really no relief in sight. It just seems like it's going to get a whole lot worse. Well, anyways, on that happy note, I really like the chart right now of AMD. That chart continues to improve by the day. I think we caught it pretty close to the bottom there. I'd have to look and see what price we actually got it at. We got back into AMD, got down to 84, 83, somewhere in there. And now, boy, it's breaking out today. It's in an uptrend now. You know, you're either in a one sideways, a two up, three topping out, or four downtrend. And AMD is in that number two uptrend right now. Pretty strong uptrend, too. I just think that it's one of the highest quality. If you're going to buy tech, it's one of the highest quality tech stocks out there. They're dominant in their industry.
And it's still relatively cheap. Like, if you, I mean, it's 20 forward P of 23, which, I mean, it's you know, a lot of times with that name, usually anything under 30 seems pretty cheap in our, you know, comparatively.
Yes, on a relative basis, because you have a phenomenal growth rate, and AMD has not warned at all recently. I mean, everything, they had a fantastic quarter. So it just seems like they continue to hit on all cylinders. We actually, I'm just going to look it up here, AMD, we got in at 102.71. is what it, no, 90.
Yeah,
we
you
got
it
in the 90.
I think we might have got in once or twice.
Pretty close to the bottom.
Yeah. I thought
84
it was around
93 was the bottom.
Kind of came to mind, but
so it's at 105 right now. So we're starting to reap some rewards there. Okay, the other one. This is a huge day. Okay, now let's look down the road a little bit. The world leaders are committed to green energy, and that only means that solar is going to be a huge recipient. You're going to have people force. I mean, prices. I still remember Barack Obama's interview many, many years ago saying, well, the price of coal power necessarily needs to go higher so that we can get people off of coal power and over to solar. I don't think we've even begun, the revolution. We have not begun the revolution to electric vehicles. That's going to be a huge market. There's going to be more players than this Tesla. And by the way, Tesla's chart looks pretty good today. But I'm seeing a huge move here today to the green energy stocks. SEDG, S-E-D-G, which is Solar Edge. That's a really nice chart. Huge move today. I mean, somebody's moving big money into the solar sector. Run, R-U-N, which is Sun Run. They're a big installer. And let's not forget Tesla is a big solar company. They still own Solar City. And so, not only do you get the cars there, isn't the rocket still part of Tesla too?
I think that business is separate, even though a lot of people still
there's a lot
think
of
it's
mingling
incorporated.
Of funds.
Yeah.
It seems like
there's always been in of course on the solar side too. Remember his brother, so they. It's always a little tricky sometimes where, are they using some here to do something over here, right? It's kind of a little convoluted, but I think the rocket part is still technically is a private company separately, but who knows?
Yeah.
Like the Starlink and, with the satellites and everything, that's still, its own company, which probably makes sense in case something happened, right?
And Enphase is looking pretty good here
today. Enphase has always been one of my. I had a buddy that was a solar analyst in the early 2010s, and Enphase did they basically turn the sun power into DC to AC basically.
I would call Enphase the AMD of the industry, right?
Because have the inverter. They have the inverter inside the panel, right? That will.
Yes.
Turns power to, like I said, from DC to AC. So,
and the last one, those solar analysts, I knew one too. He was sunburned all the time. He needed more sunscreen.
And they don't last long because that's a boom bust. That's been a boom bust industry.
Oh, yeah, or they die of melanoma. Okay, the other one here, the other player in all of this, and it's making a comeback, is nuclear. Look at uranium energy today, UEC. I think the world is coming to grips with, you know what, whether it doesn't matter whether you're for it, against it, if you're just neutral, we're going green, okay? The green energy wave is about to either destroy America and the world or save the world. I don't know which one. We'll see. But uranium energy, UEC, nuclear, it's making a comeback, which I never thought it would. I was at the No Nukes concert in 1977 at the San Diego Sports Arena with Jackson Brown, Bruce Springsteen, Bonnie Raitt. Heck of a lineup, Graham Nash, etc. Anyways, we're out of time. There it is. It's all about solar today, and it's all about the metals and nuclear and a little bit of tech thrown in, okay? It's a mixed bag. Oil is quiet for the first time in a long time. Investing in green energy, it's been a tough investment. But I think now, it's almost a given, right? And we'll see who the winners are. We just named several that we like. All right, we're out of time. You can reach us at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Or give us a call at 855-611-BEST for a portfolio review. 855-611-BEST. And the newsletter, I'm working on it already today. Get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.